All right. Hello, everyone. We are starting yet another Tuesday night RCFB talk. We are currently kind of syncing it up, so give us just one second as we get this thing all prepared. So, and I'm going to be joined with my usual co-host. Let's see here. There we are. Welcome again, SRS or Sirius, sorry. And we have decided to do another RCFB talk. Today's theme is going to be quite straightforward. We're going to use this post Valentine's Day or Love Day or however you want to call it to just talk to you. And again, we want to take as many of your calls as we can. I'm going to encourage you to sync up. And again, the reason I sound a little disjointed is, as I've complained every week, the way Twitter does these, you launch right into them. There is no green room. You just kind of get the link with the moment you turn it on, and then you just sort of get started and you have to set everyone up. But the reason we wanted to have this one today is we wanted to hear from you, all your thoughts on what's going on in college football, as well as, to give it a bit of a theme being post-Valentine's Day. When did you fall in love with college football? And we'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well. My name is Bob Akhayeri. I'm one of the team that runs RCFB, and I'm joined as always by Sirius. Hey, Sirius, how are you doing this afternoon? Evening. Ooh.
Doing well, Babak. Glad to be here. Excited to hear what everybody has to say because I think this is going to be an interesting topic that really we're going to get the gamut of responses, I think, from people who fell in love at a young age, people who fell in love, maybe even after they were out of college when they were older. Maybe we'll get a parent on here who like didn't get into it until their kid went to college. Who knows? But I'm excited to hear what everybody thinks.
As we wait to see if anyone wants to join in, I guess this would be a great time to share your own thoughts. How about you, Sirius? When did you first kind of find your passion for college football? What point were you at?
I've been thinking about that since we started throwing this around as a topic. And as far as my own personal experience, I can't really like pinpoint a specific thing that did it because, I grew up in the Southeast, in Tennessee, and it was just college football dominates everything. At the time, there was no NFL team in the state. There was no NBA team. There was no Major League Baseball team. There was no hockey team. College sports, that was it. In terms of, the sports that most people would follow. And actually, a lot of times, when you saw local players or college players that would go to the pros, a lot of the fans that rooted for them in college would even follow them and become fans of that team. There was a very large contingent of Indianapolis Colts fans in the state of Tennessee, even when the Titans did come to town, just because Peyton Manning was there, because they'd followed his career at Tennessee when he was a Vol. And that's just kind of how my own experience developed too. I mean, that's it's a Saturday in the Southeast. College football is on all day. Going to games was super easy and cheap. And just kind of got exposed to it from a young age, and it's just what I knew. So it made it really easy to kind of follow along with the different storylines and everything, and see a lot of these players that started off, freshmen in college, and then develop on up and make it to the pros. So I guess there, I don't have a good answer to this one. I'm probably a bad example.
What was your first game that you went to?
Oh, I don't even remember at this point. I have a picture of me with Peyton Manning actually that he signed, from his freshman year at Tennessee. So, it was one of those games when I was probably like, I don't know, three, four, something in Neyland Stadium, which all the Tennessee fans snicker at, and all the Vandy fans are like abhorred by, since I'm a Vandy grad. But that's just they were the local team.
That's great. No, mine's a little more easier to pinpoint. And just for those of you joining us, we'd love to hear from you on your thoughts on college football. But if you're looking for something to talk about, we've decided to kind of go with a running theme post-Valentine's Day of when you fell in love with college football, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Before we get to mine, let's jump to at least one caller first. Ben, you're always here. You always want to talk. We always love hearing from you. How are you doing, man? Oh, did we? Oh, whoops, somehow. Whoa, I don't know what happened there. Somehow we had a bit of a technical snafu there. It somehow muted everybody, including me, and I didn't touch it.
I don't know how that happened.
That was my bad, guys. My
Oh,
bad.
okay. I was about to say, I didn't know if someone else had that button, but of course, you're a co-host.
That's right. Co-host.
Go ahead, Ben.
Hi. So, my first love was never college football. So, I'm from New Orleans, and my dad worked with the Saints, and so I was always a Saints fan, go to those games. But, Saturday nights, Saturdays, I was bored. I wanted to watch something, and football is on, and it's fun. And then I think it was Reddit College Football that really got me more into it. And then the 2019 season happened. That was my freshman year of college. Now, I went to LSU, and I didn't know what I was in for because it was like, yeah, you know what? Let's see. Oh, we beat the crap out of Georgia Southern. Well, that was fun. Oh, we beat Texas. Oh, this might be. Oh, okay. And then I realized how much I loved college football because I finally got to experience it. My first college game was that Georgia Southern game at LSU.
That was going to be my next question
Yeah.
is what was your first
Yeah,
game
I
of
never
college
went to
football
any
that you went
Tulane
to?
games. I almost went to one, but then at the last second, I didn't get any sleep the prior night, and so my brain just went all freaky. And I had to leave because, like, it was hot as hell outside. Okay, not technically my first one. It was the first one that I ever went to that I stayed awake during because I was at the New Orleans Bowl between Troy. It was the one that ended, I think I looked it up, and it ended on like a blocked field goal in overtime, which really annoys me because it's like, man, you could have seen that. It was like Troy, Middle Tennessee or something. Either way, not important, not important. What is important to Troy Southern Miss? What is important is the fact that, like, I think what made me fall in love with the sport is going to a game and realizing, oh, so there's all of this going on. There's the everything is so electric and different. I will say that those who, that I didn't feel like it was louder. Death Valley doesn't feel as loud as the Superdome. Now,
Well, I'd be curious to know if on the field how that feels,
well,
but
here's the difference. Yeah, and the difference is that at the dome, I'm all the way at the top, and then for the games at Death Valley, I'm like in the student section, I'm at the front. I think the difference is the way the dome is built. It's this big concrete structure, so when the noise erupts, the noise has nowhere to go, so it can't go outward. It just keeps bouncing off the wall and it gets thicker. And so I was there for the 2018 NFC Championship game. And yeah, we don't need to talk about the ending to that one. We need to talk about when we got this interception off of Jared Goff because the crowd went so loud that there was a place in the dome that someone found that a ceiling, some bit of concrete in the ceiling had fallen off. And that was during the cheer. Because when it gets that loud, it just can't go anywhere. Whereas when it gets that loud in Tiger Stadium, for example, during the Florida game, it could escape into the ether and it didn't feel it. But the
or maybe
electricity.
it's just made out of the same thing as the roads in New Orleans. I don't know. I mean,
I mean,
I could
here's the
see
dip.
that
Well, the
kind of coming
difference is, of
through.
course, it's like, hi, geology facts. When you build a city, in an area near a river, and it's also on like marshland, it's gonna break apart. It's gonna break apart a lot. It happens because I'm from a little bit outside of it, where they literally took swampland and then paved it. Not exactly the greatest idea if you want your concrete to stick around for like 100 years. It's gonna break apart. But, it's whatever, you deal with it. It's, hey, better to have broken concrete than concrete underwater.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Ben. We enjoyed hearing from you.
Yes.
We
All
always
right.
enjoy hearing from you. Thanks for joining. So
All right.
again, for those of you out there, we're talking about the what you fell in love with, what made you fall in love with college football, or you know, whatever college football topic you might want to discuss. We try to give something out there. Next up, Austin. Austin, go ahead and unmute. Well, you're unmuted, so go ahead and join us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is cool. There's a few times where I feel like I fell in love with college football. Growing up in Miami, the Canes were literally everything we did with our family. But I feel like you don't really fall in love, like Ben said. You don't really fall in love with college football until you actually are there. So driving up to Orlando for UCF in 2010 and feeling the building shake was definitely an experience that, like I said, you have to be there to really understand it. So Jeff Godfrey was our quarterback in 2010. We blew out Boston College by like 40 plus. And yeah, the atmosphere was absolutely electric. And then obviously fast forward to 2017, RCFB, the Twitter account, helped us claim that title. And so it's multiple times. It's 2010 when you first go to your first bounce house game and it's shaking. Everyone's going nuts. And then you go and you beat Auburn after going undefeated. And you're there in the house. And Auburn fans are super nice. But you could just feel that day was going to change the trajectory of UCF going forward. And that's why like I really liked the RCFB account because you came and gave us a trophy. I don't know if the guy who handles the account responsible for that, but that was a really fun experience.
That was kind of a funny situation too. It was, you know, we had a conversation, and we thought it would be fun. Like again, nothing, no one was going to ever equate that to, you know, the AP or obviously the CFB trophy, but it was kind of a cute idea. We weren't the only ones. There were a couple of others that were like, well, it's an undefeated team. It's the only undefeated team left. You know, what's the harm in kind of coming with this idea? And it was such a last second thing. I mean, they were going to hand it over in like 3 days. So we got together, we reached out to some trophy maker in Orlando and we said, well, what do you got available that we could really quickly kind of turn over? And
awesome.
They had something. We looked at it, seemed fine. And there was one of the mod team that lived, and he's now emeritus. He's now retired, but amicably. He lived kind of, I want to say, about 2 hours away, somewhere on the coast. And he just drove up. And the way that came together was so funny. And we're so glad. I mean, I think we saw a picture of Terry Mahajer's office, and it's still in the background, which was even delightful when we saw that all these years later. But that was kind of a funny thing to say that happened. And I remember the guy who did it, like, we're like, hey, man, do you mind just driving up to Orlando, like, real quick? They just need you at an event. he's up there handing a trophy, and it was pretty spectacular to see that happen. And it was a fun thing to participate in because, you know, exactly, it's what you love about college football. It's the silliness of it. It's the stakes are so low. And I've said this before, but, you know, the classic denigration or insult for, you know, sports journalism is it's the toy department of the newsroom. And, you know, whatever, it's fun. No, lie, you know, it's the stakes are low, but it's extremely highly emotional. So it makes it fun. But I'm glad to hear that. We're always glad to hear that. That was kind of a funny moment where really, I swear that came together in 72 hours.
And the funny part about it is we kind of like kicked around, like, you know, like we'd been touting on the Twitter account, like the, you know, yeah, we'll call it a national championship. We'll give them a national, say that they're national champions and everything. And then it was like UFC kind of slid into the DMs like, hey, yeah, so we're going to do like a parade and a award ceremony if you want to give us a trophy. And we're like,
exactly. That's exactly how it happened. They were like, hey, you know,
okay.
Like, oh, I guess we could we.
You know? So we're Googling like Orlando trophy makers, you know, engravement shops, and yeah, we found the one who like, yeah, what have you got that is anything remotely resembling football, a trophy, you know, sports trophy, something, like not one with a basketball on it. And yeah, the guy picked it up on the way to the ceremony, I think. Took like some pictures with it around the UCF campus. And then just showed up, and we're all watching the web broadcast, like, hey, we know him.
Yeah, I was there that night, downtown Orlando, and it was like one of like five trophies we got. I was like, I was in heaven, you know, double fisting Bud Lights. And yeah, it was just really cool. And it's funny, you probably hit the same trophy shop that I had to use at certain events I helped run at UCF. So we love it, though. Yeah.
For a city that large, it's like one trophy shop. Wouldn't that be great? I mean,
we both walk in. Hey, oh, you're fancy seeing you here. Thanks for the trophy. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. It was great hearing from you.
Yeah. Go Knights Charge On. Shout out to RCFB. And yeah, appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, Matt. Thanks. And again, for those of you out there, this is RCFB Talk 19. You know, we're talking whatever college football you all want to chat about. We love taking your calls. Just hit a request and we'll get to you, we promise. And but if you want a topic to discuss, we're going with a post-Valentine's Day. When did you fall in love with college football? All right, Chad, I'm going to go ahead and send you a request. Just feel free to unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, we got it. We already got we got two speakers up. Yep.
Oh, hey, Chad, give us 1 second. I just saw my co-host lit up. I thought he disappeared. Bill's Hate Week. Bill's Hate Week. Unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, yeah, so sorry. I don't ever put my real name on here because it's fun. Twitter's not real, but.
Don't worry about it.
My name's Garrett. I'm from Topeka, Kansas. So I was born in 96. So I'm a K-State fan, just throwing that out there. But so I missed like the early Snyder years. I was there for the bad ones. My first game was K-State KU in 2003. And I just remember Darren Sproles taking like a punt return to the house. And the place was just like absolutely electric. And so I was like kind of a fan. My parents weren't fans of the Chiefs. So I never really watched a lot of NFL. And my dad was an OU fan. He had some classes down there. My mom was a K-State fan. And that Big 12 championship game, OU K-State, just watching my dad and my brother just be absolutely devastated. I was like, okay. Yep, that was really it for me, and it's been tough, but I've been through it.
Well, you definitely missed some of those extremely tough years for K-State.
Yeah,
obviously before Snyder really turned them around. I think there's a lot of fans out there who still don't realize exactly how much of an impact he made on that team, or how old he was. He's still around. But I just remember when I went to Big 12 Media Days and he's like a little guy, you know, when he was still coaching towards the end. And I'm just like, my gosh, he's like, he's so frail. But at the same time, he's, you know, brilliant and turned around what was the complete laughing stock of college football for decades. But, and Darren Sproles was awesome. I have a bittersweet memory of him, and I haven't got to where I got into college football, but I went to USC, and they took both games against us in a home-and-home, actually in the 2001-2002 seasons. But he was a great, great player to watch. I remember that. 2003, he led the nation in rushing. So just a great overall player. What was your favorite game that you went to, would you say?
Oh, that I went to. I'm trying to think.
I'm still stuck in the part where you saw your family just completely devastated and were like, yes, this is what I want to experience for the rest of my life and be invested in.
My brothers were all pissed. I'm like, screw you guys. Always picking on me because I was the youngest. I was like, I'm enjoying this moment. This is my team. It was a couple of years ago. I can't even remember. I don't remember. I was probably drunk. I was drunk, but that was a lot of fun. So tailgating there is really cool.
I can imagine. That was my big regret, is never getting a chance to go to the game when USC played Manhattan. But that was my one year of law school, and I wasn't going anywhere for that entire fall semester. But everyone I know who went said it was a great time to go. I think, from what I get a sense, K-State's a great place to go, I guess, as long as it's not really the rivalry game with Kansas. And I'm sure that isn't – I mean, how does that get? How hostile does it get on campus when Kansas is in town?
It's really – on campus, it's not as bad. So I'm from Topeka, which is not exactly halfway in between, but way closer to Lawrence. So a lot of people here are KU fans that I grew up with. So it's more like dealing with those, or like when you work somewhere, dealing with a lot of those KU coworkers. And now it's to the point to where they literally just like, they just accept it. They don't care. And it's just wait till football, but it's always there. And they say it's not a rivalry game until it's like close or something. And then you can tell it's a rivalry game. But like teams, especially with Oklahoma and Texas, we didn't get Texas at home this year, but Oklahoma was awesome at home. Baylor's always, I shouldn't say always, but Baylor's fun to play at home with how loud it gets there. So it's just, yeah, all around a good time.
Well, thanks again for joining us. I mean, I really hope I was excited when they hired, you know, from North Dakota State, one of the most successful coaches, you know, out there. You know, I think there's a lot of optimism there. I think this season was interesting to watch K-State. I feel like they really are in a position where they could make a move to getting to some of those better years under Snyder. That was the one thing. He would get so far and just things would somehow kind of fall apart. I still remember, was it 98? Where, oh yeah, was it, I think it was, was 98.
We lost to Texas A&M undefeated, lost to Texas A&M in double overtime, and we get sent to the Alamo Bowl or the Holiday Bowl versus Purdue and Drew Brees. And then OU loses to us in 03 undefeated, and they still get to go to the national championship. So,
yeah, that was 03 was a delightful year, I'll tell you, as a USC fan. That was the year where USC finished the regular season number one in the two human polls, and then the BCS kicked them down to number three and kept OU in the title game right after losing. So yeah, that was an exciting one for two different fan bases there. LSU just kind of kept going and won out, and you know, bless them, they got their half of that title. But that was you guys were the fourth team in that particular mix up that ended that season right before the BCS, or at least the bowl season. And gosh, I watched the end of that Big 12 title game you're talking about. And that was wild. For those who weren't there, the end of the 1998 season was crazy. And it was basically who was going to go up against Tennessee, which was, I think, the favorite team heading in. And they obviously won the national, that first BCS championship. But that final weekend, it was like UCLA seemed like they were going to be the team that was going to get to go in. All they had to do was beat a makeup game, because there was no title game in the Pac-12, but they had a hurricane makeup game at Miami, and Miami pulls the upset. And I remember, like, they cut to – I turned and the channel to watch the Big 12 title game, and they showed this guy on a – because, you know, phones weren't quite as common on cell phones – there must have been someone in the audience who was getting the update, and they were like, hey, check what's happening in this, you know, part of the stadium we recorded. And you see one guy, it must have been the K-State section, just start like jumping up and down, and then everyone around him starts jumping up and down because I heard UCLA had just lost. So suddenly K-State winning out in this game seemed to be like the lock for going up against Tennessee in the BCS.
Yeah, we had like a 28-point lead at that point too.
Exactly. And then just,
if I remember correctly, Bill Stoops, a former assistant, just got the job the night before at Oklahoma and started like poaching our coaches. So OU can get off with the Lincoln Riley hate.
Yeah. And then, oh man, I just remember. And that was the thing, Texas A&M, their QB was out. Like, I think they were on their third string or something. They had a lot of injuries. So they went into that game just completely. They were not, yeah. Anyway, I could go on and on and on about this. But thank you so much for joining us. That was it was nice to hear your favorite moments and just to hear from a K-State fan.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Chad, apologize about that confusion earlier. We'd love to hear from you if you want to hit on mute. And again, if any of you want to talk to us about college football or our sort of running theme today, which is what made you fall in love with college football, we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for allowing me on. My name is Jacob. I fell in love with the sport when I was about 7 or 8 years old. It's hard to pinpoint, but generally around the 2007-08 season. The previous speaker, he said something about, like, you don't really fall in love with the sport until, like, you actually go to a game. My experience is a little bit different. It's not necessarily the sport that made me fall in love with the sport. It was actually more of a familial connection. It was actually with my father. So I would go to games with him, I would go stay with him on the weekends, every other weekend, actually. And as far back as I can remember, the furthest back I can remember watching a game with him was around 2007 or 8. And my dad was a diehard Alabama fan, so we would obviously watch those games, but I was only there every other weekend, so I didn't get to watch every game. But it started, like, I saw it, like, it made me, it was kind of like a gateway into the sport in general, so I would start watching other games while I was at my mom's. So then I started just loving the sport, like, the wildness of it, like, crazy shootouts, like, these insane plays. I remember the Boise State-Oklahoma game earlier in 2008, I think it was, January 2008. Like, that was, like, one of the wildest, that was one of the first games I remember watching. So, like, that was an insane, that was one of the things that made me fall in love with it. But the main thing was, like, watching games with my dad on the weekends and stuff. That kind of got me into it. But then it really cemented it when Alabama won the national title in 2010. And just seeing, like, the pure joy, like, it could kind of bring my father. So, like, in that general time frame is when I started to like it, like, actually love it. And but what's insane about it for me is, like, my dad shortly later in 2011, May of 2011, he passed away not too long after they won their first national title.
I'm sorry.
So, no, it's fine. But, like, it kind of, like, cemented, like, my love for the sport. So, like, I started watching games religiously then. Like, I have not missed an Alabama game since the 2010 season when I actually fell asleep during the Auburn game, the comeback. It's great. Because we were up in the games, and I was tired. So, it was, like, second quarter, I think. there was, like, a long touchdown pass to Julio Jones. And I was like, all right, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to take a nap. But ever since then, I haven't missed one. So that kind of familial connection kind of, like, cemented it for me. So, yeah, and it's kind of crazy because after they won that title and he passed away, like, just the insane run that, like, we've been on ever since then. I kind of feel like the luckiest fan in the world sometimes, like, that I get to watch this team all this time, especially since May 2011. And I did get to go to my first game this past season. It's on my profile. I think it's like a pinned tweet. I actually went to the Alabama Texas A&M game, and it was like one of the wildest environments, like, to go to. I don't know if anyone that's listening here probably didn't go or anything, but that was like one of the wildest games I've ever seen. And, like, counting TV, obviously high school, I've been to high school games before, but I'd never been to, like, a college game. So that was my first game I ever went to. And, like, I didn't know that people, like, just screaming could, like, vibrate concrete. That's what it felt like, because I was in the student section with a friend of mine who goes to A&M. And, like, the stadium was shaking because of all the jumping and all the yelling. It was one of the wildest experiences. And, you would think, like, going to a game and watching your team lose, like, on a last-second field goal would, like, break your heart or whatever. But for me, it was kind of a weird experience. It was, like, since I had never been to an Alabama game or let alone a college game, it was kind of a weird experience. I kind of felt like I didn't feel, like, devastated. I felt like I had this appreciation for the sport in, like, its purest form. I got to experience a comeback late in the game, you know, Bryce. There was, like, a touchdown pass he had to Jameson Williams. I think it was on the left back of the left corner of the end zone. It was like really good throw. I got to experience like fans storming the field and all that kind of stuff. And that loss propelled us like the rest of the season until obviously the Georgia game a few weeks ago. But like I would say my love for the sport was already cemented well before I ever went to that game. But to me, that kind of felt like the cherry on top in terms of my love and appreciation for the game. And yeah, that was probably one of the two or three coolest. That might be the coolest thing I've ever done or experienced, rather, was being in that environment. I don't know if anyone here has been in one of those kind of environments before where it's just like, you're not even like devastated or like joyful in terms of like whatever the result of the game was. You're just like, wow, like I'm here in like one of the wildest things you'll ever experience. That's kind of what it was for me in that. But yeah, I would say what made me fall in love with the sport was just kind of being there with my dad on weekends as he was watching games when I was a kid.
I think you hit on a great part of that, Jacob, the sentimental aspect.
Yeah.
That it brings back, you know, memories of, you know, whether it's with friends or family, that was your introduction to it. Right. So, you know, no matter what, like every time you tune into a game, like you're going to get reminded of that. And I don't know if you were here when I was talking about mine, you know, I said kind of growing up around football and everything, but really what you said, that kind of is it for me, is because, you know, my grandfather was a huge football fan. So he wanted to go to games and he would drag me along with him and everything and make sure that I got to meet all these players and stuff like that. And it was that same thing. I mean, it's a bonding experience.
Right. And that's what it is for me. It's like, you know, my dad passed away in May of 2011. So I haven't had like, obviously, like all I can do is think about him now. The first thing, like when that game ended in College Station and like everyone was storming the field, I wasn't thinking about the game or like, you know, like Bryce Young, Saban, like, you know, what are the repercussions of this game, the standings, like the playoff, like none of that. I was thinking about, as everyone was storming the field, like, wow, like this would have been cool to be here with my dad or something like that. Like that's what came to mind, like as the field goal went up and everyone was like storming the field and going crazy. I was like, you know, this would be really cool to be here and experience this with my dad. And to me, that was probably like, I had a real appreciation for what the sport meant to me. Like that was the thing that was highlighted most about that game. That's why, like, you know, a lot of Alabama fans, when they think of that game, it's kind of like they think of it as like, you know, what kickstarted our season this year, what kind of remotivated us. For me, I look at it as like, everything that went on in that game, and then like obviously what it means to me personally to have that kind of, that first experience be that wild of a game and just how cool it was, you know, it reminded me of my love and appreciation for the sport and why I love it so much and where the root of it is, obviously with my dad and everything. So that was, I don't know if I'll ever have an experience close to that in terms of like a sports experience. Even if I go to like a home game at Bryant-Denny or something, but like that game had everything. And yeah, that's what it was for me.
That's an amazing experience. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. And yeah, thank you all.
Thank you. And again, we are talking about college football as we usually are. Feel free to request and come join us. Our theme is what made you fall in love with college football. But if you want to talk about another topic, we're always yours. Again, my name is Bob Akairi. I'm joined by Sirius. And Evan, you're up here. Feel free to let us know your thoughts.
Doing great, man. Doing great. I'm a big West Virginia fan. First of all, I just want to say I freaking love the page. I've been following the sub for years, and it's just constant entertainment on a certain day. So I really appreciate it. I would say my first time, honestly, it was my first game. Really, it was I was 11 years old. It was an October 2003 evening in a Morgantown, and number 3 Virginia Tech comes into Milan Puskar, and WVU is really struggling on the season, have been struggling for a few years. and we just absolutely kicked the shit out of Virginia Tech. And it was unbelievable. I was 10 years old. It was my first ever experience in a stadium. My parents weren't really huge sports fans in general, but we grew up – or I grew up about 45 minutes away from Morgantown, and we got some tickets for free. And they're like, sure, like, let's do it. It was a Wednesday night. Those old school, you know, Big East games that would happen on Wednesdays and Thursday nights were just awesome. I mean, that's like peak college football in like my personal opinion. And just showed up, and it was just something about like the fans and just everyone there just going absolutely berserk. And I mean, like I said, I was 10 years old, and it was love it at a first sight. I couldn't get my eyes off of it, and it was awesome. And we like I said, we absolutely just kicked the living shit out of number 3 Virginia Tech. And I remember we were sitting in the upper deck, like the lower part of the upper deck, and everyone stormed the field, and the cops pepper sprayed everybody, like everybody on the field. They just lined up in a row and just pepper sprayed the entire stadium. And it was just complete madness. And it was just, my mom was like, we got to get the hell out of here. And it was just one of those things. I was 10 and a half years old, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. So I think just like those shared experiences, you know, with your family and, you know, just sort of that love at first sight was awesome. But actually the last person kind of said it perfectly too, I think. I think one of my most favorite memories just in general actually came from a loss, which was when we went, I think it was our first year in the Big 12, and Oklahoma came into Morgantown, and Tavon Austin ran for, I think, 572 all-purpose yards. And it was a real-life, all-Madden, all-pro video game happening, like, right in front of your very eyes. And it was just must-watch television. It was just unbelievable. And I was like, this is just the closest thing to, like, superheroic thing I've ever seen in my life. And it just sort of added to my love to college football. So, yeah.
So I have to ask, at that game, that at first when you were talking about the Westford, the game where you guys upset, you know, obviously a rival from Virginia mm-hmm. Tech, did you guys stay for Country Roads, or was your mom like, let's just get out of here before?
Oh, no, we stayed for the whole thing. Absolutely. I mean, we were, you know, we stayed for Country Roads. We were sitting around. I mean, no one was leaving. I mean, it was a Wednesday night. She was like, fuck it. We're going to, you know, you're going to be late to school tomorrow anyway. It doesn't matter. So, you know, but getting out of there was an absolute zoo, but it was great. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing all that, Evan. We really appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And again, for those of you out there, my name is Bob Akairi. I'm joined by Sirius. We're talking college football, taking your calls. We'd love to hear what your favorite moments were, or the moment you fell in love with college football, or whatever you'd like to feel like. All right, so let's see here. Fifth quarter Clemson, you're on. Feel free to unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, guys, my apologies about that. My earbuds kind of took a little bit of a crap on me. But
don't worry.
My way of falling in love with it was a little bit of an ambush. This was 2007, so I was about 8 or 9 years old. I'm born and raised in Georgia, and I was playing rec league football. And one of my teammates, right, it was our bye week, and he was like, "Hey guys, you know, like my dad and I are huge Georgia fans. We have a few extra tickets. Who wants to come?" So I get home from practice and I'm like, dad, guess what? You know, like Corey, like invited me to the UGA game this weekend. Can I go? And he looks at me and just blank face. There is no emotion on this man's face. He just goes, hey, you know, like I'm super excited for you, but something came up. We have to go to grandpa's, and his father, the grandfather, lived up in the sticks of South Carolina, right? Just absolutely bumfuck nowhere. And I was like, oh man, that sucks. So next day I go to practice and I'm like, hey, Corey, you know, like, I thank you for the invite and stuff, but you know, like, I got to go see family. And he was like, don't worry, man. You know, like, you know, like, we have season tickets. Like, you know, like, we go like every week we can. I'm like, all right, you know, like, cool. So my dad wakes me up at like 6 a.m. Saturday, right? And, you know, like, this is like a bi rec league football week for me. So I was like, man, like, I get to sleep in on a Saturday. Wakes me up at 6 a.m., throws an orange shirt at me, says, put this on, get up, we're leaving in 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Hop in the car, you know, like, I'm 9 years old, so I fall asleep. I wake up in a town I don't know, and there's, like I could have sworn to you, like, there were a million people out. And my dad had actually taken me to Clemson. His old roommate had season tickets, and I guess my dad called in a favor to get those tickets for the game. And it turned out to be 2007 Clemson versus Central Michigan. Clemson beat Central Michigan 70-14. And it was the perfect storm. You know, like, I'm 9 years old. I don't know how to act. You know, like, I'm terrified. I'm like holding my dad's hand. And we walk out of the portal into Clemson Memorial Stadium. And I'm like, goosebumps, chills. Like, I had never experienced anything like that ever, right? You know, full packed crowd on a Saturday, you know, like 80,000 strong. We watch the game. Clemson curb stomps Central Michigan and like goes on to win. After the game, I run down onto the field because Clemson's, you know, the only school in the world that allows fans to go on the field after a game, right? And you know, like, all these kids are like running up the players, and I don't know like what's going on, and like, I walk and like, I get pushed into a player. The player was wearing number 28, towering over me, and I was like, oh my god, so like, I'm so sorry, and he's like, don't worry about it, and he handed me one of his gloves. That player was CJ Spiller. I I'm looking at this glove. I have no idea, like, what's going on. My dad grabs me, and he's like, where'd you get that? And I was like, oh, so some player handed it to me, number 28. And he was like, oh, that's cool. And, like, we hop in the car, and I'm ecstatic. I'm like, when are we coming back? When are we coming back? Can we come back next week? Right? Like, you know, like, I don't care about, like, my football game. Like, I want to come here again. We ended up getting season tickets in 2009. And, you know, like, obviously, like, now, like, I run like a, you know, like a Twitter page and I write for Fifth Quarter about Clemson. So it was a match made in heaven. But I think going back to two talkers ago with like Jacob, like, one of the things that he said that kind of like hit close to me is, you can be a fan of like a team, but not entirely be a college football fan, right? The pageantry, the tradition, the environment, the atmosphere around college football, I've only ever seen once ever. And that was when I was on a Euro trip back in high school. And we ended up somehow getting tickets to the Milan Derby AC Milan and Inter Milan. And it was almost identical. It was like copy and paste. The fans were involved. Everyone's standing. There's chants. There's cheers. You know, the entire stadium is in one perfect wavelength. And that's kind of what made me fall in love with college football, is if you go to any stadium on any Saturday, no matter what, unless it's just two absolute dog crap teams going at it, there's going to be pageantry, there's going to be love, there's going to be tradition, and there's nothing in any athletics field anywhere in the world outside of, you know, top league European or international soccer that's ever going to pale in any comparison to it. And I don't care what kind of fan you are,
I think college football is the absolute best in terms of fanfare and pageantry, like, in the world.
That was amazing. Thank you so much for that, for all of those impressions. It made me think of several things. I mean, when you were talking about going to the Milan Derby, it made me think of one of my favorite clips, and I recommend all of you who've never seen this or just want to revisit it, go look it up on YouTube. But the British actor, comedian, TV host Stephen Fry did a series, and I believe it was on BBC, called In America. So he went to the Iron Bowl. And so there's a clip of him at the Iron Bowl for Alabama-Auburn. And he describes it, because he's describing it to an audience that doesn't know anything about how big college football is in the United States. And he's like, it's basically a giant derby. And he made me think about that, talking about how you experience that in Milan. And, you know, your experience with CJ Spiller, by the way, how awesome was that? But I had a friend kind of run into that situation in, back in 1999, USC had snapped a 8-game losing streak to UCLA. So we all stormed the field, which is an awesome experience when you can't meet at the Paul like you can at Clemson. So, I mean, you know, that was an opportunity. But I had a friend, you know, you're in the middle of the field, the players are all there, and we did not look like college football fans. He was all punked out. I mean, he was a grad student who went to a school that didn't have a football team, but he got really into it at USC. So he was like giant, like 1 foot spikes of hair off the top of his head and his leather jacket. I mean, from New York, looked completely, you know, authentic. So he walks up to the player, and the player's looking at this kid walking up, not kid, the guy was again quite old, but walking up to him saying, congratulations. He gave him his gloves. And my friend was like, well, what's your name? Troy. It was a freshman, Troy Polamalu, as it turned out. But I mean, again, that was before, you know, no one knew really who he was until a few seasons later when he really, you know, made it. But I thought that was your CJ Spiller story definitely reminded me of that. But we want to keep on moving and try and get some more of your calls again. RCFB Talk, we love hearing from you. Ben, you're up. We'd love to hear from you.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
So, sorry about the voice crack. But I'm a huge Georgia Southern fan, diehard. I just graduated this past semester.
Congrats.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. So I would say the moment I fell in love with college football had to be – I mean, I've been a lifelong fan. I've been growing up – I used to watch Georgia Tech games because I grew up outside Atlanta. Wasn't a huge Tech diehard fan or anything like that, but, you know, I just kept up with the team, played a lot of NCAA 14 in high school, you know, as everyone does nowadays that are diehard fans. But, you know, the moment that made me fall in love with the sport – was my sophomore year at Georgia Southern. We had just come off a 2-10 season with Tyson Summers. And if you kept up with Georgia Southern in 2017, God bless your heart, but, you know, 2-10, horrible record, worst season in school history. And then, so program, the vibes are low around campus. The students aren't getting hyped up for the games. But then, one day I'm just walking through campus and I heard we had internally promoted Chad Lunsford to be the new head coach. He was the interim head coach taking over, and he won the South Alabama game 52-0 that year. And that kind of breathed some life back into the program. But the 2018 season, App State comes into Paulson ranked for the first time in program history in the AP Top 25. And, you know, we had just come off this horrible season, and no one's expecting Georgia Southern to come in there and whoop App State, but everyone wants to. And, I mean, the atmosphere, the fans there, the tailgates, the atmosphere was crazy. I had never seen it like that because 2017, I think it was a road game at App State. So this was like the first true rivalry tailgate at Paulson in Statesboro, electric atmosphere. We end up winning that game my favorite clip on in all of college football, second favorite behind Nick Saban, saying that Georgia Southern ran through him like shit through a tin horn. But my favorite clip from that game, an App State player is getting interviewed by the ESPN, and as he's being interviewed, they throw a pick, and Georgia Southern, he intercepts the ball, runs out of bounds, and the App State player just goes, fuck, live on air. And it was the funniest thing. It was amazing, but we end up winning the game. We rushed the field. It was so amazing. I end up running into App State players. They're so pissed off that this drunk Georgia Southern fan just ran into them. He looks like he's about to whoop my ass, but, you know, I didn't care. It was so much fun. If you watch the video, you can see me. I'm just a little blob on the field just running across. It was the most fun I've had in a college football game, and I don't think I'll ever top that, but, you know, knocking off App State for the first time when they're ranked.
And I was about to say, I think that was the very – that. I mean, for a little while there, the Sun Belt had a habit of – I mean, the previous season, Troy became the first Sun Belt team to ever break into the AP Top 25, and then they immediately lost. And I believe that was App State's first week ever being ranked in the Top 25. And, yeah, they went into Statesboro and lost to, you know, some – again – you know this, Ben, and I became very deeply steeped in the Sun Belt because I've covered their media days for a number of years. So I really dove into all of those media guides and figuring out what was going on with those teams at a level I fully did not know as well before 2015. But App State and Georgia Southern, back to the FCS days, you know, two strong programs, two – you know, winning programs. Everyone remembers, you know, at least somewhat familiar with App State famously upsetting Michigan in what was the very first, you know, Big Ten Network game ever broadcast. But yeah. But I mean, that was the thing. They got a couple of votes famously right after that because they were that was when they clarified that technically an FCS team can receive votes in the AP Top 25 poll. It never come up before. But they never got ranked up until that week before y'all upset them in 2018. And I remember that was a big change. I remember how, because I think, again, most people, I always try to explain Georgia Southern, you know, okay, G5 program, but the passion for that program is like any other P5, if not stronger than most. They care so much, especially with Irk and Paul Johnson taking the team to multiple national championships. Most people don't realize how serious college football is in Statesboro. So I'm not surprised all to hear about, you know, your impressions and the passion you have for all of that, especially that crazy turnaround in Chad Lunsford's first year. That was what I honestly was shocked at how his tenure kind of just sort of ended there.
I know. I mean, I have a tremendous respect. He brought the culture back. He brought the Gatta mentality back to Statesboro. And that's something that Tyson Summers, he just couldn't capture. And the feelings and the vibes when he was the head coach, the culture just wasn't there, you know, and Chad Lunsford brought it back. So I'm excited about Clay Helton, but, you know, I was honestly sad to see Chad go. You know, he was a great coach. He got – we've been to 4 bowl games as a program, and we went to 3 with Chad Lunsford. So that speaks volumes as to who he was as a coach and what he means to this program. But
hey, like you know, said, I got to just say, I would be remiss if I didn't say it as a USC fan. Good luck with Helton. I admit, a lot of coaches, you'll be surprised when they hit that perfect fit of a program. I mean, I love going off on Dan Hawkins because I thought he was an amazing coach at every level until he got to P5 program. And then he just tanked. And, you know, now he's over at UC Davis. He's fine over there. And he was obviously got Boise State into a position where Chris Peterson could run with the program he built. And, you know, he was fine at Willamette back in D3, all those other teams. But, you know, sometimes it's coaches that they got to find their place. And Clay Helton, I don't hate the guy. He wasn't a bad person from all accounts. I hope he does well over there. that to me was one of the most interesting hires in the offseason because I didn't see that coming. And then, you know, USC ends up hiring Lincoln Riley. So then, you know, got one up there. And then, of course, immediately afterwards, LSU hires Poach's Notre Dame's coach. And we're all like, oh, wow, really? Okay. So that's part of what makes it so fun. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Imagine how we feel when we heard Clay Helton.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think that was one of those, like, what, you know, I think it was a record skip for a variety of reasons. I think all of it was just sort of like, okay, this isn't like a off, like the classic, no one thought it was a good hire, and it ended up being even worse than anyone possibly imagined, was when Kansas hired Charlie Weiss. Like, no one thought that was a good hire, and it somehow was worse than anyone ever had possibly imagined. So it isn't like that, which, you know, I'm sure that's not exactly what you'd want to be considered. You're one step above that. You're not. You're. It seems to be a lot more optimistic. But thanks so much, Ben. It was great hearing from you. All right, Miller. Miller, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to unmute yourself and just give us a shout, whatever.
Yeah, first things first, fire Mike Norvell. But yeah, just going back to what Ben was saying, to give you the other perspective, that was one of the most disappointing weeks as my time as a student at App. I think we got ranked, what, poll comes out Sunday?
Yeah.
Got ranked Sunday, and it was a midweek game. I don't remember if it was Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but just ranked for a handful of days. Go out there, lose a game that they shouldn't lose, and then immediately drop out of the rankings. Just so frustrating. But yeah, I wish nothing but failure for Clay Helton, to be honest.
I love it. I mean, this is rivalry. This is what makes it fun.
For sure, yeah. I mean, that's always my favorite game of the year. It, for whatever reason, it's always on Halloween, or at least when it's in Boone. It's on Halloween, and it just happens to snow. So it's terrible conditions, but I love going to it, and it's a great time.
I've heard nothing but great things about just that environment in Boone and how electric it gets there. And all the photos and all the images. We had a few years ago, we sent an RCFB reporter out there, and he said it was one of the best experiences he's ever had covering a game. He didn't expect it. I mean, he was based in Atlanta. It was within range where he was willing to drive to cover a game. And I can't remember what game it was, but he said just the environment there was nothing he ever expected, which seems to be a running theme, I think, especially with both Statesboro and Boone. I think those two programs within the Sun Belt, people, again, don't realize how much passion those fan bases have, and because they were so successful for so long before they ever moved up the FBS. How about yourself? What was the moment you fell in love with college football?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I honestly can't remember. I just feel like I've always loved watching college football. I was born in Alabama. So you start off at an early age and you get to pick Auburn or Alabama. And I've just been an Auburn fan ever since I was a little kid. But as far as Appalachian, it was, let's see, if you've seen The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, there's that one scene where the warden's asking him, like, oh, like, what do we need to do to get ready? And Adam Sandler's like, oh, you played some slack two division school, like Appalachian State, beat the living shit out of them. And my dad was an App State alum. So me and my brother would always give him shit for that. And then everyone knows the Michigan game. So that kind of put an end to the trash talking for him. So I always had a soft spot for them, and then ended up getting recruited to go wrestle there and just fell in love with it.
Oh, that's great. And especially as a student athlete, that must have really just steeped you in that kind of all of those, the athletic, you know, the program, the the amount of, you know, it sounds like you had a great time there. What years were you there?
2015 through 2020.
Oh, excellent. Just as they were transitioning right up to FBS in that era. I think that was, what was their first year in FBS? Was it 2014 or?
I think it was 2014.
Yeah.
So I got there right as we were eligible to start going to bowl games. And it was a bunch of really good years. So it was a blast.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That was because Satterfield was there the whole time at that point, wasn't he?
Satterfield left either my senior year or when I was in grad school.
Yeah, that sounds
Satterfield
right.
Left my senior year because I remember I was in the library in grad school when I found out Drinkwitz was leaving.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again for joining us. We really appreciated hearing your perspective on all of that. That was real fun. It was so funny to have you back to back with Ben on that two folks who are real big fans on the opposite sides of a big rivalry. Thanks for joining us.
For sure, appreciate it.
All right, Luke, I just saw you joined us, so I've gone ahead and added you. We'd love to hear from you. Unmute yourself. And the mute is in the bottom left. Sometimes there's a little bit of technical difficulties. We've run into it at least once a week. So don't be a problem. I mean, oh, looks like you got it unmuted.
Yeah, okay. So I got a pretty interesting story about how I fell in love with college football. A lot of people may not know about South Carolina football, but, you know, back in the 80s, when South Carolina comes out of the tunnel, they play the 2001 Space Odyssey. And, you know, when Lou Holtz came to South Carolina, you know, we had lost a lot of games, you know, the first 2 years he was there. But the year of 2001, when we really started, you know, winning and taking off, we actually tore down the goalposts two weekends in a row. The first one was New Mexico State, and then we beat Georgia. And I just remember as a kid watching those games and, you know, being at the game and helping the students and all the fans carry the goalposts out of the stadium. And, you know, it was just incredible. But the way that all that happened with, you know, the Space Odyssey and being the year that, you know, 2001, it just was a perfect storm. And, you know, those Lou Holtz years were that's what really kicked off South Carolina football, in my opinion. And I think a lot of people would agree. Because he kind of really believed in South Carolina first, and he was a Hall of Famer and just a great coach. And, you know, and then, of course, we got Steve Spurrier after that, and then Shane Beamer. And, you know, we're pretty excited. We think he's a great coach, and the rest is going to be history.
I got to agree with you. I think Lou Holtz really did turn around South Carolina. Now, I remember when they hired him. There was kind of a bit of a bit of chuckling after the first season because for those who aren't aware, you know, South Carolina was struggling mightily before that. They had a one-win season, and then Lou Holtz comes in, and his first season's actually a 0-11 season. So I remember a snide comment I read at the end of the 99 season was only Lou Holtz could come in and take a 1-10 team and make it a 0-11 team. But then he turned it around. And as you said, I think it was actually 2000. I remember that. Because then, you know, they beat New Mexico State. Fine. That's not a shocker. But then, yeah, they upset number 10 Georgia at home. And yeah, Lou Holtz built that foundation that really, I think, helped attract Spurrier and build that and prove that at least South Carolina could be a competitive program. Sirius, I know you might want to chime in a bit on that.
Yeah, I just want to get the fan perspective of, you know, you go in there after a rough start at the beginning of Holtz's tenure, and you get that win over New Mexico State, and you tear down the goalpost, and then immediately follow that up by beating a ranked team in Georgia. I mean, and a bit of a rival too. Do you kind of feel like maybe, you know, like in hindsight, like, yeah, we probably should have saved that New Mexico State gold teardown for something a little bit bigger? Or are you just, you know, riding the high at that point?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Because, I mean, we were, you know, we didn't win a single game, you know, and for 11 games, 0-11. And, you know, there were the stands were still there. The fans were still there. It was 85,000 people in the stands. And we were excited about Lou Holtz. And, you know, just to get that first win, there was a lot of momentum going into that season. And, you know, Lou would say all the time that, you know, he felt good about, you know, what he was doing. And he was going to, you know, change everything. And, but, you know, we were just so happy that, you know, things were changing. I mean, we played pretty good in that game. And the thing about it is that it just it was so good that, you know, we won that game. And then I think the University of South Carolina during that stretch, when we did that 2 weeks in a row, it kind of, I think that's when people changed about like the goalposts and doing the retractable goalposts and making it so people, the fans couldn't tear down the goalposts and everything. It was really incredible, and seeing, you know, everybody being happy and feeling good about it. That's how I fell in love with it. And being 10 years old, carrying out the goalposts, helping the fans, you know, it was incredible.
That has got to be an amazing memory. I can't even – that would have been – I think most people would think if you got to be storming the field, taking down goalposts at age 10, that would be one of those memories that gets chiseled into your psyche, and that makes a ton of sense. I always have – and you're right, and I don't think people realize, even when South Carolina was just utterly, utterly miserable before Holtz got there, and even when Holtz's first year, as we were talking about, William Bryce Stadium is known for like being nearly sold out for almost everything at that time. That was the thing. It's like, it's not quite a full sellout every game like Nebraska was doing, but unlike Nebraska, where they, at the time, the product on the field was stupendous, the South Carolina fans kept going to the stadium and then filling decent crowds for whoever was there. So, yeah. Well, thanks, Luke. We really appreciate hearing from you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, so,
okay. Bobic, we've taken a lot of callers. I've given my kind of, you know, recollection of it. So we've made it through the night. We're starting to get to about the time to wrap up. Do you want to share your story of how you fell in love with college football?
Yeah. I was just holding on to it in case we needed a half filler. I wasn't sure if we had people, and I'm glad we did. No, I'm a late bloomer on college football. I went to a high school where we wanted to be a little Notre Dame, and, you know, it was a little Catholic school in the armpit of California, Bakersfield, which I served my time. I was there I served 15 years in Bakersfield before I went to college. And so I went to USC. I thought it was a neat school for other reasons, but I've always been a person who's like, hey, yeah, I'll go to a game. It'll be fun. First game out of the gates, we hosted Florida State. I knew nothing about who Florida State was. I knew UCLA was a rival, and I just couldn't believe what I walked into when I walked into the LA Coliseum, when it isn't hosting NASCAR, and probably when it is. It's just a spectacular sight. It's one of those cathedrals of college football. It just looks cool because it has that, the what they call the peristyle, but it's those arches at one end where the Olympic torch is still there. And, you know, obviously, Florida State was amazing. It was the peak Bobby Bowden years. It was 97. You know, they came in fairly close game. USC lost in the second half. You know, Florida State broke away. But it was an amazing environment, not only hearing, you know, going to a blue blood team where there's lots of traditions. And you don't have to be an old school blue blood team to have a lot of traditions, you know. But USC has plenty of traditions, plenty of songs, including the one that everyone hates hearing because they play it repeatedly. Not quite Boomer Sooner, but close. I'm sure Lincoln Riley will get used to the new one. And then all the Florida State fans doing the war chant in the background. I mean, it was incredible. I couldn't even believe it. So I was hooked. I went to every game after that. And obviously, I'm crazy enough to, you know, help moderate on RCFB. And here we are having a talk right now. But that's my story. But I always tell people at that point, it was a little too late. I was a theater guy in high school that suddenly decided, like, I'm going to join the football team. Did, you know, intramurals, brother. But nothing beyond that at USC. Wasn't going to be walking on anytime soon. But, hey, you know, it's been a long night. We appreciate you joining us for RCFB Talk 19. We love hearing from you. It was great to hear all of the reasons many of you fell in love with this sport that we all enjoy. Hey, you know, next week, and we'll post about it a lot more because it's a guest, we're going to be having Professor Michael McCann, who is one of the prominent sports lawyers, to talk about all the really interesting topics that are affecting the sport right now. Obviously, NIL, you know, whether the National Labor Relations Board will rule that players are employees. He is at the forefront of it. And before he became a professor, and he's a professor at the University of New Hampshire's law school, he was on the team that represented Maurice Claret, if you know your college football history, when he attempted to leave Ohio State after his freshman year, the year they won the national championship against Miami. He decided to try and leave early, and that turned into a big legal fracas, quite prominent one, which he lost. But anyway, so he McCann was involved with that, as well as other things. But he is always great. He's been an expert in SI. He's really good at bringing legal topics into an understandable area. I say that with a little bit of respect because I'm also an attorney and I teach not sports law, but it's going to be make for a very interesting conversation on a variety of topics, and we're going to make it accessible to people who are interested in it. So tune in next Tuesday night, same time at 10 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have him on. So from all of us here, from me, from Sirius, JD couldn't make it tonight, but he also would say hi. We thank all of you for joining us for tonight's RCFB Talk. Have a great night, everybody.